Hey guys, it's time for Nina's Got Good News. Nina's a former TV news gal who used to share all the news. Now, as a mom and small businesswoman, she wants to share only the good stuff. It's time to brighten your day. So here's your host, Nina B. Clark.
Hi everyone, how are you? This is Nina B. Clark, your host of Nina's Got Good News. We are back today with a brand new episode. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for being here. You guys are the best. Thank you for all the support of Nina's Got Good News. And thank you, as always, for supporting positive content. Please consider rating and reviewing the podcast as well. I would appreciate it so much because that is how we can keep growing in 2024. And please, as always, please consider sharing this episode with a friend. Sharing is caring, right? Thank you guys so much. I am so excited that March is here now. I don't know about you guys, but it usually means that warmer weather and more sunshine will be coming soon to coastal Connecticut. So that always puts all of us in a good mood. So yes, March is here, and hopefully that means spring is coming very soon with warm weather. We have been focusing a lot on our family lately, and that usually means for us spending time together watching the kids play their sports. Lacrosse season has started for both Charlie and Blaine, which is exciting. And Blaine's ice hockey season just got extended because her awesome team, the Connecticut Polar Bears, did so well this season in their hockey season that they secured a spot at regionals later this month. It's later this month in March. And she's never made it this far before. We've never gone to regionals before. So she's really excited. So keep going, Polar Bears. It's very cool for them with their ice hockey team. I'm so proud of Blaine and her awesome team. We are also looking forward to taking a little time off later this month. We're going to be heading down to Florida with the kids for spring break. We will get to see my mom, Mary Bradley, who is now 86 years old. So awesome. She's 86 and she's doing well down in Naples, Florida. And we can't wait to see her. So that's going to be a lot of fun to get down to Florida for spring break. Speaking of family, today's episode is brought to you by one of my favorite family-owned and family-run businesses, Mary Ruth's Organics. Mary Ruth herself is an important resource for all of us when it comes to our overall health and wellness. You guys know how much I love her and her brand. This is the only brand of vitamins and supplements that we use in our house. Please be sure to check out all of their products for the entire family. They have so many great options to help boost your immunity and stay healthy. Charlie and Blaine take them every day, and so do I. And guess what? So does my husband, Jeff Clark. Jeff takes the men's multivitamins. Again, they have options for the entire family. If you go to maryruthsorganics.com and use my promo code GOODNEWS, you will save money at checkout. And of course, that's always good news to save money right now. Again, maryruthsorganics.com and use my promo code GOODNEWS to save money at checkout. All of that information, by the way, will be in the show notes below of this episode. So if you missed the website or the promo code, again, that'll be in the show notes below this episode. So now on to today's episode, episode 114, 114, episode 114. Today we are talking entrepreneurship. I'm so excited about this episode. Let's talk about being an entrepreneur. What does it take to own and run a business? What does it take to own and run several businesses all at the same time? Is there a secret? From the successes to the failures along the way, today we are going to be talking about all of it, the entire journey. My guest today has run 8 businesses in the past 10 years. Laura Sabia is a serial entrepreneur. Laura is a real force here in Connecticut. She runs boutique fitness studios like Pure Bar, several locations, and Club Sweat, again, a couple of locations, as well as a few lifestyle magazines, including Greenwich Lifestyle Magazine and Darien and New Canaan Lifestyle Magazine. Again, 8 businesses in 10 years. And now, in all of her free time, she is also officially an author for the very first time. We're so excited about her brand new book. Laura's brand new book is called You Can Thank Me Later, Startup Secrets That I Wish I Knew. You Can Thank Me Later is out now, and it is such a helpful guide for anyone who has an idea for something. Her debut book is already a bestseller on Amazon, so congratulations to our friend Laura for that. All of Laura's candid advice is so spot on, and she always tells it like it is. So you really will be thanking her later for all of her good advice. Even if you're not a small business owner, anyone who has an entrepreneurial spirit will really appreciate this episode. If you know anyone who is an aspiring entrepreneur or currently an entrepreneur or someday has dreams of being an entrepreneur, please consider sharing this episode with that friend. Here is my recent conversation with my friend, Laura Sabia. We recently recorded this conversation at Haven Co-working Space in Darien, Connecticut. And Laura Sabia is with me now here in Darien, Connecticut. We are coming to you today from Haven. This is a co-working studio. It's beautiful here in Darien. And they even have a podcast studio. So we are doing something different today. We're doing an in-person podcast. We're also filming it, which is so fun. And joining me is a brand new author. My friend Laura Sabia is here with us. Tell us all about your book. Congratulations. High five.
Thanks, Nina.
So excited. Congratulations. How does it feel to be called an author?
It's kind of strange. I feel like I've just, you know, I have the way my personality is I kind of have a list of things I want to do. And that was just on the list. So I don't really consider myself an author. It was just, I wanted a book. So I wrote one.
Yeah.
But you know, you think of things when you're a kid, like an author or different jobs, and you don't think about how people get to those points. And it's just, that was kind of my, I wanted it. So we made it work.
Oh my God. Of course you did. You like manifest these things and then you actually do them. Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Google, and like Google's your friend. I'm like,
how do I write a book? Yeah. All right. So tell us, like, where did the idea come from and why now for this book?
So it was always one of those bucket list things. Like, I think every business owner has a list of hundreds of things they want to accomplish before they die. And I thought I would do this maybe in my like 60s, like when I was done being a business owner and more kind of retired. And then on LinkedIn during the COVID shutdown, a publishing house reached out to me asking if I'd be interested in writing a book about female gym owners surviving COVID. And so I was like, sure, I'd be interested in participating in the book.
You thought it was like a group
effort.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
And then so then my husband came home from work and I was telling him about it. And he was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He was like, you actually have an amazing entrepreneur story. And he's like, I think you should give them a timeline of who you are, because all they're seeing is your LinkedIn profile that you own a gym. They don't understand that you have all these other businesses because you don't promote them or put them anywhere. So I replied saying like, yes, I'd be interested in participating. Here's a little bit more on my background, and kind of gave them a timeline of when I started being an entrepreneur in 2012 to present day. And then they forwarded it off to somebody else in their office and they came back with, oh, we actually want to do a different type of story on you, but can you still quote us for the COVID stuff?
Oh my God, that's amazing. So. Good job, Frank, I would say, right? Okay, so I have a question for you that I think this would be helpful for people. So many people think they want to be an entrepreneur, but they don't necessarily have what it takes. So what are the qualities that you need to be an entrepreneur? Because honestly, I feel like that's something that's new. A lot of kids now are like, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to be a business owner, but it's so hard. So what do you say to people about being an entrepreneur?
I think the first thing is that you have to have a really thick skin, and you can't get offended easily. Mm-hmm. So I do this a lot in my business when I'm hiring people, is we have what's called the culture index, and we do a personality test on everybody so that we can understand where the puzzles fit. So in the book, I talked about, you know, when you have a potluck dinner, everybody can't bring the pasta. You have to have the salad, and someone has to have the plates and the napkins and all the different things. So if you hire everybody and it's all pasta, you don't have a well-balanced team. So from an entrepreneur standpoint, there's all these different personalities. So the culture index, I think, has 19 different personality types. And mine is much more of a visionary type of personality. So it's funny, I can kind of like, I vision the future. Like I see the future, what I want it to look like 10 years from now. But nobody else on the team has that personality type, because if they did, we'd all be butting heads, right? So it's like, I have to hire people who can help execute the vision in my brain. But it's one of those things where if you're going to get knocked down easily or be easily offended or strive for perfection, you're never going to make any progress. So we always have this quote in the business, like, we're striving for progress, not perfection. If you're sitting in front of an email newsletter template for 3 hours trying to get it perfect versus just getting it out.
Why does that sound familiar to me?
Because people, I mean, it's not a bad skill. Yeah. It's just that you're just never going to get things done, right? And it's like, if you have multiple things you want to accomplish, like, you got to just go, because at the end of the day, who cares if there's a spelling error? Obviously, we want it to be perfect. It's never going to be perfect. So when we spend all this time trying to make things perfect, we're actually hindering our own growth. And so I think the biggest thing is knowing that things aren't going to be perfect and you need to just get stuff done and cross it off the list. Like the book, I could have read this book 50 times, right? Before I could find an error every time. I could be like, oh, there needs to be a space in between this and that. But it never would have went to print. Like, it's like at some point you just have to rip the Band-Aid off and go. And then you also can't be offended. Like, there are people who are going to read this book and be like, I disagree. And that's fine. That's my opinions, my story.
So that's where your thick skin
And comes I think in. You have to have a thick skin, because if you don't, you're just going to get offended and not be able to continue going up the hill. Mm-hmm. So that's really the biggest thing.
Yeah, no, that's so good. I think having thick skin is good for all of us. I think we all have to have that. I would like to have more of that in 2024, please. I'm manifesting that right now.
Manifest that for you.
Okay. So I feel like, you know, I always talk about on the podcast that the podcast is my third baby. You run 8 successful businesses. How do you pick a favorite child? Do you have a favorite child? I know you have like 8 babies. So which one is your favorite? Do you even have one, or is that really hard for you to answer?
I do have a favorite. It is hard to answer, because then like you get a new one and then like that one's your favorite, and I don't have children. So I don't know if it's like the same, like you love them all, obviously, but
do we though?
But like one is going to be like, you know, like it's just funny. And so my first business, Pure Bar, the first one I opened is always
going
to be my
favorite.
Your
first
one
was in Westport.
Because I feel like the blood, sweat, and tears and the learnings like really started there, and everything else is just a little bit easier because you can kind of mentally prepare for it. Mm-hmm. The different type of love, I guess, because you're like, oh, I guess it's similar to having kids. Like, you know, the baby's going to get up in the middle of the night the second time. You might not have known the first time. Right. So it's like, you know, a little bit more what to expect, but you're always going to have different challenges, because every business does have its own unique personality and different challenges. Mm-hmm. For Pure Bar, I was just so passionate about it, and I still am. So I think there's so many people that would be like, it's silly that you still own this business. Like, it doesn't make nearly as much profit as some of the other companies you own, but it doesn't matter because I'm passionate about it and I love it, and mm-hmm. I can't imagine my life without it. So I think it's just a different way of balancing.
Do you think that's almost one of your secrets to your success, is finding your passion and going for it, like following that passion?
Absolutely. Because when you're working on something that you're passionate about, it doesn't feel like work, because you're just doing it because you're enjoying it, versus when you have to show up or have to do something that's not necessarily passion, it's a chore. Mm-hmm. So for me, like it's never a drag when someone's like, hey, can you meet me at the studio? It's like, yeah, I'd love to. See you soon. Like, mm-hmm. It's fun.
Yeah. And are you still working out every single day as an entrepreneur and small business owner, running 8 successful businesses? Is working out still part of your self-care routine? Is that a non-negotiable?
It is. I don't work out as much as I did when I wasn't a business owner. I probably used to work out 2 to 3 hours a day. I'm lucky to get like one class in like every other day. I do have a pretty set, I'm very routine oriented, surprisingly. So I have like, you know, 11 a.m. Wednesday with Kimberly and Derry, and Friday with Jess. Like, I have a plan that I kind of follow, and it's built into my calendar. So one thing that I'm really good at is time management. Mm-hmm. So if you look at my calendar, it looks very scary to some people, but it's all color coded based on business and like what's personal and what's non-negotiable to be moved. So my assistant manages my calendar, and she knows like, well, Laura takes class at 11 on Friday, so I can't book anything before or after that.
It's
blocked off as a meeting. Yeah. Because it is important. And like, I actually was talking myself out of recently, I play tennis 3 days a week, and I was like, well, maybe I'm playing tennis too much. So I should only play 2 days a week, because it's so much time that I'm taking away from the business. And then I like took a step back and I thought about it, and I was like, why would I do that? Like, that's my outlet. That's my health, right? Like, if we don't have our health, what do we have? Right. Which is a huge thing that I think all of my businesses support. And then I'm not leading by example if I'm stressed out and not being healthy. Mm-hmm. And so,
yeah, that's so good. That's
I literally had to talk myself out of it. Yeah. I was like, no, why is that even a thought in your head that you would not play tennis one
right.
day?
No, that's so good. You should keep those 3 days for sure. It's like me with my ice hockey. I have to have it. Yeah. You know, I only have it once a week, but it's really, like my therapy.
It's really important. And I was like, oh, that's so many hours. And then I was like, no, it's really not. Like, I need to not even consider this as an option.
No, that's so good. I feel like every small business owner and entrepreneur should make sure they're taking good care of themselves and their health. Because your job is like 24/7, right? You're always...
Yeah, I mean, kind of.
You can be flexible, which is probably... Yeah. That was one of the things you wanted when you were pursuing this journey for you. But I feel like it's still... You can make your own hours, but you're working a lot.
And it's always...
Because the buck stops with you as the owner.
Yeah. And I think mentally, you have to manage everything all the time. So if something's going wrong or something happens, like it is going to roll its way up to you.
Right.
But when you have more businesses and more companies, there are other people taking on bigger responsibilities and they will be kind of the point person for each business.
Yep.
So I do have that. And everyone's really, really self-sufficient at, unless it's like an emergency. So we created what's called the scale of fires. And it's like when to reach out and when to just send an email. Like you'd be, because what someone thinks is urgent in the moment isn't necessarily urgent for the person they're going to, right? So it's like, oh, we're out of toilet paper. That can be an email, right? Like we all, no one needs to stop what they're doing. Like if my phone was ringing right now because we needed toilet paper, then I'm doing a poor job managing expectations for my team.
Right.
So it's kind of like, so with the scale of fires, it's like, you know, we use the fire emoji and it's like, this falls into the one and the one is an email. The two and three is like, you kind of have to think, stop, think, figure it out. And then the four is like the building's on fire, call. Mm-hmm. And it actually says call 911, then call. Like I shouldn't be your first call because I'm going to tell you to call them. Right. And you'd be surprised. Like there are people who will call you before they
right.
Like this is a terrible example, but we had someone who tripped over a machine, fell, cracked their head, blood on the floor. Call the ambulance before you call me.
Right.
Right. Like I'm going to like every second counts. So like that kind of those things happen. And like, you need to prepare your team on what to do in those situations.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's so important. Those are the things I would never think about, but it's so good. Now you talk a lot in the book about your team. And I feel like, because you played sports, you were a swimmer and you're, you know, into fitness. So you understand the whole team mentality really well. And one of the things that you talked about a lot was the importance of like delegating, also hiring people. And I know you do the tests like you talked about earlier, but I feel like you have done a good job with putting people in positions where they have their strengths, you know, and maybe they're stronger in one area that you're not.
Yeah.
So how important is the whole team mentality for you as an entrepreneur?
The team mentality is so critical because you can't do everything and you can't be everything for everybody. And people are going to be better at you than things. And you need to be okay with that. I think if I was like, no, I have to be the best, I have to do everything, like we would have one Pure Bar studio and like that would be it. And I would be teaching all the classes and running the front desk, but that's not fun. Like,
right.
It's like, that's a job and not fun. Like you need to figure out how to make that work. But from a team standpoint, it's like, when you realize someone is really good at one thing, when you have multiple businesses, you can basically slide them across and be like, okay, now you're going to do that one thing times five. And that's a full-time job. And it's a job that they love. So you're helping create a position for somebody that they're going to enjoy coming to every day based on their skill set. And there's always things in the job that people don't like to do. Mm-hmm. Like no one wants to take the trash out. Yep. Right. But like you have to, and that's just part of being on the team. But like, if I go in and take class and I see the trash is full, I'll just pick it up. And I think that's just common courtesy, but you'd be surprised that people don't do things like that. So you have to hire people that are going to like be part of the team the way you want them to be.
Right. Yeah. I think that's so good. It's like, I just think team sports, I'm so into team sports.
Yeah.
I've always been into that. And I feel like that was my mentality too. When I worked in news, when I had like my own staff, it was like, we were only going to be as good as like the weakest link, person. You know?
And I think it's important too for, I think every time we hire someone who's like had a sports background or been on a team of any kind, and these are questions that we do ask in the interview, it's like, what are your interests? You know, like it teaches you a lot about a person because you're like, okay, they have a team mentality.
They're
going to be great versus, you know, if they don't.
Right. I know. I think it's so important. Now, another thing you talk about a lot in the book, which I love reading about, is leadership. So what are the qualities of a strong and effective leader in your opinion?
So this is really funny. So when I was writing the book, I was like, I don't really consider myself a leader.
Everyone was even like, though you run 8 successful businesses. Okay.
What are you talking about? And I was like, I don't know. I don't like see myself as this. Cause I feel like when you think of a leader, you think of someone who's standing in front of a large audience or a room and like commanding the room. And I feel like I don't do that. I'm a much better one-on-one person.
Maybe you're a quiet leader. I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like, so I don't know. I think like, you have to have some empathy, obviously, yeah, if you're going to like work with people and get them to believe in your vision. But I think one of the things, I don't know, it's so hard because I feel like I don't see myself as a leader, as funny as that is. I think I have ideas and I tell people what they are and I'm like, does it sound good to you or no? And if they say no, I move on to someone who is interested in it versus, you know, trying to get someone, convince someone to do something they don't want to do. But I think it goes back to kind of similar traits to the business entrepreneur stuff is, you know, that stamina and resilience and things like that. But it's hard to answer the leadership question because I feel like that's just like a buzzword that people use. And I think people who are preaching like, I'm a leader, it's like, but are you? Like, who's doing what you like? You know, so right, that's like a hard word for me.
Yeah.
When you,
what about, I feel like this is also goes to leadership is how important it is to learn how to handle the word no.
Yes.
Because yeah, in the book you talked about how mm-hmm, you had to hear that word a lot.
Yeah.
And maybe yeah, that is where your thick skin and yeah, your resilience comes in, but learning how to, you almost have to love the word no, right?
Yeah, you do actually have to love the word no. It was funny the way you were like, you have to love it.
Yeah, you kind of have to embrace the no.
Because everyone's going to always ask things of you if they know you can handle it, yeah, or do a good job with it. And I think at some point, like for me, I volunteer a lot for like the Greenwich United Way or the Junior League of Greenwich. And I had to start saying no, because next thing I knew, I would have been like president of this nonprofit organization and hurting my business because I would be spending, that's a full-time job that, yes, could I do it? Probably. But do I have capacity for it? No. And so I think it's like understanding what realistically that looks like for you and being able to say yes or no. Like you get to a point sometimes as a business owner and a leader that you get overcommitted into things or things that don't actually benefit you personally or the business, and you kind of have to take it a second to be like, how is this going to help me grow, or is it just a waste of time? Mm-hmm. Because time is the most valuable thing we have. We can't replicate it. And so if we're just giving people our time and there's no either personal benefit from it or benefit to your family or your business, then you have to figure out a way to make it work.
I think one of the other things about being a strong leader is your work ethic. And I feel like that's something you talk about in the book, and just knowing you as a friend and just we know each other pretty well. I feel like you have such a strong work ethic. And I think that that is something that, you know, people can learn about, but not everyone has that. So how are you dealing with now? I feel like in 2024, the work ethic kind of looks a little different than maybe when you were coming up, rising through the ranks and hustling. I don't know if everyone has that work ethic anymore.
They definitely don't. And it's,
or maybe it's just harder to find.
Few between. Okay. I did just hire someone about a year ago. She's 22. And I was very reserved. I was like, oh, I don't know how it's going to go, because this generation with the work ethic. And she's totally proved it wrong and it's been great. And I'm like, wow, I forget you're 22. But I think it goes back to, I'm always going back to the personality thing, because it's a personality type that has a work ethic. And it's great if you, you know, I do have some employees that are like, I work inside this box and I work 40 hours a week and like, do not contact me after 5. And they're compensated accordingly for the work that they do. And then you have people who are like, I'm available whenever. And I have to try to be like, well, no, you don't have to be, you know, like, it's like you, there are different personality types that kind of fit in different brackets. And I think when you hire people and you push them into the right category, that helps. But also something that we do internally is everybody who's working for us, at the end of the day, they send me a summary of what they do. So I'm able to time manage where that pay is going to. So I'm like, okay, I know they, because you can do, I'll give you an example. My editor for one of my magazines, she can do in 3 hours a month what takes somebody else 20 hours a month.
Just because she's fast. Yeah.
She should get the pay for the job, regardless of how long it takes her to do it. Yep. If it takes somebody else longer, I don't think that's a bad work ethic. I think that's efficiency and she's really good at something. So it's really kind of like, are they in the right job? Mm-hmm. And then is it a cultural fit? Mm-hmm. Because I think from a bad work ethic standpoint, I just don't have a tolerance for it. But we do have people who work part-time and it's a fun job for them. They don't need a super strong work ethic. So you can fit all parts as long as you kind of have the pieces together.
Yeah, so you just have to figure out which role to put them in.
And my work ethic, I think I was just born this way because my sister's the same way and we're both like, our mother's the same way, we're workaholics. My dad's always like, it's time to slow down a little. Like, can you slow down? And I'm like, well, maybe after I do this, this, and this. And he's like, no, like, just stop opening businesses, like, live your life.
Oh my God, I love your dad.
I'm like, I am living my life. Like,
now you have a book. Now you have a book.
Well, yeah. And so he told me after the book, he was like, no more for a bit. Like, we need you to, like, you know, like, live life. And I'm like, okay, well, this is just how it goes. Like, this is me living life. Right. So, like, happiness looks different to different people. And I think that's a huge part of it, too. But to get back to your initial question, I think it isn't a one size fits all. And it's a cultural thing. Mm-hmm. It's like the work ethic thing. And I think I just am that way. But my strong work ethic isn't to pick up somebody else's slack. It's right. To keep moving things forward. Yep. And once you learn kind of how to prioritize and where to delegate, I think that really helps.
So if someone has a business right now in 2024 and they're looking for growth, mm-hmm. What would be your best piece of advice for growth in 2024?
So I think the best thing to do is make a list of everything that you do all day, all week, all month as a business owner. Figure out what is bringing the business revenue, mm-hmm. right? Prioritize those tasks and everything that's not, see who you can push it off to. And then when you make a job description, make sure the job description is prioritized in a way that they can prioritize the growth. So you're basically making a job description with as much detail as possible and then taking everything off your plate that's not revenue generating or team building. Because the team is related to revenue directly. So
I love you're so into like making lists. I think that's so good, right?
Well, so I actually hired someone.
It's so good.
I was talking to a girlfriend of mine and I was like, so here's what I think I need. And I was like, but you know, every time I hire this position, like it doesn't fit. Like, what am I missing? Like, I'm asking her for her opinion. And she was like, it sounds like really what you need is a project manager for you to brain dump everything on and then someone to execute it. I was like, great idea. So then I made a new job description for project manager. Then I interviewed someone and I literally brain dumped my ideas onto her in the interview. She was a referral. So she wasn't like a cold off the street. Like, you know, it was like, she already knew like what was kind of coming. Yep. And so I was explaining like, this will be a new position. This is what I'm looking for. And she actually then presented me with a spreadsheet of all the different topics and made lists of everything I had brain dumped in the conversation. And I saw it all in one place and it was like due date, deliverable, who's responsible, what I would need to accomplish it. And I was like, this is what I need. Like but I wouldn't have put that together. I just brain dumped the list. So that's a perfect example of like needing someone else to kind of come in and do things. Cause as the business owner or the entrepreneur or the visionary, I'm not the doer. I'm the one that's like, this is my great idea. And it's like, how do I execute it? Yeah. Right. I'm not the executor. And I think that's okay. And I think a lot of people are the executor and the entrepreneur. And like, you just kind of can't do both. It gets to a point where it's like, you need somebody else to help with the data points because you're going to miss them.
Right. So that goes back to how important the team is.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And hiring the right people. I love that. So good. So I'm sure people ask you this all the time, but if someone has an idea for something, a product, a business, a blog, a podcast, whatever it might be, what is when they come to you and say, Laura, I have this idea, what do you usually say to them? Because everyone always comes to you for advice, which is why your book is called You Can Thank Me Later, because you have so much good advice.
Oh, thank
what do you.
You
usually tell people? Is it follow your passion?
It's make a list.
Make a list. Yes, we're going back to the list.
You know what it is? You have to make a list so that you can prioritize how you're going to get it done, but also how much time is it going to take? What do you need to get it there? Kind of back to that like spreadsheet. Like it's funny. I could tell
because you can manifest something, but then you have to put in the work.
Yeah. And then also you might realize by Googling it and trying to figure out like, oh, I want a podcast. Then you Google it and it's like, oh, I don't want to do any of that.
Right.
So are you willing to invest in outsourcing it, or are you going to do it yourself? And like, do you need you? I think people, finance is a huge thing for people. Like, it's like, are you going to get investors, or are you going to self fund it? Are
yeah.
you, how are you going to make that work? And what does the timeline look like? And when, if it's not working, how long are you going to continue doing it before you give up? Are you going to sign a 5-year commercial lease and be stuck? Or are you going to sign a 1-year lease and hope it works and pay mm-hmm. more money? Like, it's kind of, you have to figure out like the pros and cons of that.
Yeah. Did you ever have doubts along the way and wanted to give up? And what made you not give up? Were you just that driven?
I think, I mean, we all have our doubts. I've definitely had like days where I'm like, this sucks. Like COVID especially, like mm-hmm. I'm paying multiple brick and mortar leases and not even allowed to be open, like things like that, you know, things come and can be stressful, but it was one of those things where I was like, I just have to keep going because I'm going to see the positive on the other side. So it was like, that's just my mentality, was to just keep going. I'm also not a very negative person. So I feel like it's just a waste of energy and time. So I'm not really a complainer or someone who's like, oh, this was so difficult, because if I walk in to a company that I own and I'm in a bad mood,
mm-hmm.
That's not exciting for anybody.
I know.
No one wants to be around
bad
that.
Energy. Yeah.
So I'm just, you know, even if I'm having a bad day, it's kind of like you turn the hat around and you figure it out. And then at that point, you're not really in a bad mood anymore because you've had to like put it together.
Yeah.
You know, so
put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah. You just have to keep going.
Yeah. And luckily for you, if you're having a bad day, you have an amazing spouse, Frank, that keeps you positive, right?
Yeah, talks
you off the ledge.
So he actually, we had him do the personality test because I was like, I'm so curious.
Oh my God, can we give one to Jeff? Can we give one to Jeff?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. It's amazing. So we had him do the personality test, and it was really funny because the woman was explaining it to him, like how his personality is. And apparently like my personality, which is like the visionary person this way, and his over here is like the balancing act. So they say that, and my assistant actually has the same personality too. So it's really funny because they get along very well. And I'm like, this is
why it works.
Yeah. It's like very, so it's like they ground me and they're detail oriented. So for me, who's like big picture, if I come home and I'm like, oh my God, Frank, I'm going to start this magazine next month. He's like, okay, like, what does that look like? And he's the one like bringing it back to life. And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't matter. Like, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and we're going to figure it out. And he's like, no, maybe we should have a spreadsheet with a plan. And I'm like, okay, you could build a spreadsheet. And now I have Emma being like, hey, you have a meeting in an hour. I just want to make sure you saw that on your calendar. Right. So it's like, they're very detail oriented and I'm much more big picture focused. So it's funny because we never knew that balanced us out until recently when we had him do the personality test. So I was like, I'm just so curious what yours is.
Can you
is.
Imagine if you gave it to him when you were dating and you were like, wait, before we actually move forward, you need to take this test.
When we went on our first date, I literally was like, so here's what I want my life to look like. Here's the plan. Like, if that doesn't sound good to you, like, let me know now so we don't waste each other's time.
Oh my God. You're such a business owner, entrepreneur.
It could be fun, but
yeah.
also like I wasn't in the business
yeah.
of wasting time.
Right.
Like, I was
I know.
Like, we're
either
going to
do this or
we're not.
You're so efficient. Yeah, it's so good. What would you say right now? I know you're super positive and we love to be all, you know, good news and cheerlead each other on, but what would you say is your biggest challenge right now? And between, you know, you have 8 babies, 8 businesses. So what is your biggest challenge right now?
When I have a challenge, I'm like, I have to figure out the solution because I can't deal with the headache. So I feel like I'm very solution oriented. So I would say Row House was my biggest challenge. And I was like, okay, we maybe don't want to do this anymore. Like what are we going to do to kind of move on from that? And so, you know, it was funny. We were actually in a team meeting and we had one of the Pure Bar teachers. She was like, can I ask a question? And I was like, sure. And she was like, why don't we have Row House like in the family of businesses? Like, it just doesn't seem to make sense. And I was like, yeah, that's funny you asked that, because it doesn't make sense and we're not happy with it. And we're figuring out a solution to have it removed from our portfolio. But then it's also like, okay, this is going away, so we can't waste any more energy on it.
Right.
Right. We have to focus the energy on the good things.
Yes.
And not. So I would say that would be a stress and like a challenge, but
you're working through it. Mm-hmm. So you don't, you're feeling better about it.
Yeah, it's like okay. In the back of my mind already.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do you handle failure as an entrepreneur? So I feel like that's a scary word.
I feel like it's one of those things where nothing really is a failure. I think people are so afraid about what other people think when they're going to take a risk that it's like, no one's really paying attention and no one really cares. Right. So to me, it's like, yeah, Bro House might not be there anymore. And like, is people might notice for like a week, but are they really, is it going to change their life? No, like you're so focused on you and everybody else is also so focused on themselves that they're not focused on, oh, so-and-so doesn't own that business anymore. Or like, so what's the worst that happened? You tried, you learned something. Like, who does it matter to if you fail? Because that's the biggest thing. It's like, we're all so nervous and afraid of failure, but like, what are you actually afraid of?
I think we're afraid of what other people are going to think.
But why?
Right. But I think that's what most people would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But what they think doesn't affect your day-to-day life. Right. Doesn't matter. It's like one of those things where like, I think people get so fixated on it and it does not matter like at all. It does not put food on your table.
Right.
It does not pay your mortgage.
So if you have a failure, your advice is to just like
move on.
Move on.
And, yeah. You can't dwell on it. Like it's like you can have.
Learn from it and grow from it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Almost embrace the failures. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so good. Oh, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. I love that quote on the wall here at Haven, Winston Churchill. That's so good. Right on cue, right?
Courage to continue.
Right.
Like it just doesn't, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, it's not going to change your life that you failed.
Right.
I mean, unless you like made really bad decisions along the way and didn't plan, you know, for forecasting and things like that.
But that's
like
how
that.
You learn and grow.
Exactly.
And,
yeah. Nothing's a failure.
Right. That's so good. I like that attitude. So one of the things that I love talking to you about, I call you the queen of AI, right? Laura is the queen of AI. So Laura has so many good tidbits when it comes to AI. So how are you currently using AI to grow your business? And what advice can you give other entrepreneurs and small business owners about using AI? Because I think it's so important. It's the future and we need to embrace it. And you really have done that so well.
I think if anyone's not embracing AI at this point, they're just wasting time. Like that seems to be a theme too, but it's like, you have all these resources at your fingertips that are practically free, if not free already, that you can utilize to make your life easier. Why are you spending time or hiring people to do things that you can do in an eighth of the amount of time? So what used to take us, I'll give you an example with the magazines, what used to take us a whole day out of the month to plan all the content for the following month from the actual magazine. So obviously every magazine has a bunch of editorial in it. We then use that editorial to put it up in our Instagram account to continue to engage the readers and the audience about what's going on in the magazine. We used to have to read the articles, write the captions, figure out what was good for SEO, write, put emojis in, schedule it, you know, do all these things. Now I can copy paste the article into ChatGPT and say, rewrite this article as an Instagram caption, optimize it for SEO, use emojis. And it spits out the answer and you copy, you have to edit it a little because obviously it's a computer, but it's done for you. We're saving a full day a month when you think multiple magazines, multiple editorials, like how long that would take a human person to do. And now they just have to upload it. And we're able to get that done so much quicker and more efficiently.
Right.
Why wouldn't we be doing it? Bevy, I'm going to use this example. Last week.
Explain who Bevy is.
Bevy
for our listening audience.
Bevy does our videography videos of me talking and that I'm going to post on social to promote my amazing book that's out. So,
so she helps you with all your social media content. Yeah, we love Bevy.
Videography. And so she does all these videos. And so one time her and I did this video where she recorded us just talking for an hour. And then she pulled sound bites out of it and, you know, made clips. And then she uploaded them into this AI tool and was like, tell me what's going to perform great. It told her what words to cut. It made pretty much, I don't know if it actually made the videos, but it like was like, here's what's going to perform really well for this audience. And she's able to type in and tell it, this is the purpose of this video. What do I need to cut and how do I optimize it? And then it gives a score of how it's going to perform.
Wait, was your mind blown?
My mind was blown. I was like, this is amazing. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. So there's all these tools out there and you can just use them to make your business easier. But then think about If you have that and you don't have to hire multiple people to be doing this, you can allocate those resources better. You can pay people better because they're able to be more efficient and get more done.
Right.
So it's a win-win for everybody.
Give us the example too, because I know you told me this before about how you're using AI sometimes with emails. So give examples like that, because I don't think people totally understand exactly all the ways they can use AI to help.
So we joke that like everybody gets that email from a client and they're like, just either they're in a bad mood or you're just like, what the heck with this person, right? Like, why are they so rude? Like they send you an email and you're
like,
and it's
also, they're like mad.
Yeah. And they're not, maybe they're mad at you. Maybe they're mad at something else, but like you have to reply.
Yeah.
So when I get emails like that, obviously you want to fire back and be like, well, blah, 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 and like tell them off and tell them how it is. But that's not, that there's no benefit to that. Like telling somebody how it is, like really only satisfies you.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
It's fuel on the fire. So essentially I'll write back what I want to say. I'll put it in ChatGPT and I'll say, make this nice or make this firm, but also polite and explain blah, 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 blah. And then it'll spit back out the email and then I'll copy paste it and send it because, you know, sometimes you can't reason with people when they're unreasonable, but if you're just very direct and factual and you're giving it back to them in a nice, kind way, it goes a lot further, but it's really hard to remove the emotion from yourself and be that person on email sometimes because people hide behind email. Mm-hmm. And so it's much easier from a client management perspective to be able to use ChatGPT to help write your emails.
That's so good.
Yeah.
And are you also encouraging your staff to use AI more?
Yes, I am. So for all the studios, we use AI. The team, actually, we have someone who manages social media accounts for all of them, and she uses AI to create the content. Emails, we have sometimes, you know, you have difficult clients and I'm like, don't get stressed. Don't take it personally. Put it in ChatGPT, like mm-hmm. make your life easier. Like the policy is the policy, right? And so just put it in there and have them fluff it up for you. And so the team uses that a lot. Emma, my personal assistant, uses it all the time just because we have very strict deadlines and it's hard. You can only say like the deadline's the 15th so many times. So she uses it a lot to do that. Sometimes we get a lot of like press releases and people want submissions into the magazine, but we don't want to copy paste the same press release that other people are using. So we'll put the press release into AI and say, make it this many words, you know, make it sound like us. You can have channels in AI. So our AI has a magazine channel, a Laura's Voice channel. Like it has like all the different kind of
businesses, yep. The different mm-hmm. tone of voice.
You can have the different tones of voice. And then you can say, moving forward in this channel, only use this voice. So like Club Sweat has its own channel. Pure Bar has its own channel. And it just makes it much easier to communicate because it doesn't sound like it's 15 different people.
Right. Oh my God, it's so amazing. It's the future. I love it. It's cool. Like fascinating, right? It's
really, really cool. And just the amount of time you can save.
Yeah. I think it's just so good that we talk about this because I just want to encourage everyone who's listening to embrace it more and go play around with it. Like mm-hmm. I even tell all my influencer friends who aren't using it yet, I'm like, just go spend 15 minutes playing around and you are going to realize how awesome this is.
Yeah.
You know, amazing. And how we go back to the efficiency, how efficient it is. Right.
Well, and it's like, we go back to that task list and it's like, well, what can AI clean up from this task list? I mean, I was mind blown with the videos. Like I was crazy.
That's amazing.
It was amazing.
I know. We're all going to get on that, right? So with the book, which by the way, thank you for sending me the advance copy because I read the whole thing. I loved learning so much about your life and how you grew up in Rhode Island and just, you know, how scrappy you were. And you were determined, which I love. I think that's also a really good quality about you is how determined you are. But what would you say, like, what's the one thing that you wish you had known before you started? Like now that you've had 8 successful businesses, what's the one thing that you wish you had known before you got started in this journey?
I think the one thing I wish I'd known was that one person can't ruin your business or your brand. So when I first opened my very first studio, it was like everybody had an opinion, right? And nobody knew like the blood, sweat, and tears that I like sacrificed to open the company. And so they would come in and give me all their opinions and I would get so upset. And I would think like, oh my God, I have to like adapt to what this one person wants or like my business is going to crumble. Or you have that one person that's like really pissed that their class package expired. And they're like, I'm going to ruin you if you don't give me an extension. And I used to think like, oh my God, they might, right? Like I had so much to lose, you know? Yeah. And now I'm like, get out of here. Like, there's no way you could, like, one person can't ruin everything you've built. And I think like people can be really mean, and it goes back to that tough skin. Like now I can kind of laugh and be like, haha, like, no, you can't. But like, it is like nerve wracking when you're like putting so much of your emotional energy into something and then people can just be nasty. Yeah. So I think knowing that like, it doesn't matter. And like, again, back to the failure thing, like no one cares. Like my family, if I failed, my family would not disown me. Like they would have been like, okay, like go
you tried.
Do this. Yeah. Like I just feel like you have nothing to lose and only something to gain. And I think that people worry so much about the what if, and it's like, if you really want something, just do it. Like and if it doesn't work out, you can pivot or you can figure it out. But I think people are very risk averse. And in my mind, I'm just kind of like, well, what's the worst that could happen? And then you assess the worst that could happen and you're like, okay, that's not so bad. So let's try it.
That's so good.
Right? Like the worst that could happen is nobody buys the book.
Right.
Okay, cool. Like it's done. Like it doesn't
matter.
Everyone
should buy your book. It's so good. I learned so much.
That's kind of the thing. I think people are so afraid of the what if they don't just do it.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good. So you would tell the young Laura Savia not to worry about that kind of stuff. That's so good. So what's ahead for you in 2024? Mm-hmm. What's on the horizon for you? The book,
sleep?
The book.
No,
yeah. Kidding. The book parties, the book launches. Are you open to new business opportunities?
So if that's
like, do you and Frank ever sit down and you're like, okay, I think I have one more.
So
or two more, like how many more do you have in you?
For years, he's been saying no more. And I feel like every year, my New Year's resolution is no more businesses. And then before like the end of January is up, I have like another one coming. And he's like, can you stop? And I'm like, I don't know. Like it just keeps happening. And so I'm actually, I'm taking over a third magazine in Westchester, even though I said I'm not doing any more businesses in 2024. And I created an online course for business owners to like really help them catapult to the next level. So I really want to focus energy on like developing that course, but I really want 2024 to be about making everything that we have amazing and not taking on anymore. But as I say that, and I'm taking on something else, just has to fit into the puzzle correctly. So like with the third magazine, it was an opportunity that came to me. It's already in existence. I'm taking it over. My team is already in place to help catapult that magazine. Yeah. So it's more of an acquisition than starting something new.
Right. Like it's not necessarily a startup.
I'm not into any more startups at the time. Would I invest in one? Maybe, but I'm also kind of like, you know, I really would like to go to Florida more.
Yes.
So like, I kind of want to be able to take some time to enjoy what I have and continue building what I have to be really great.
Yeah, that's good. I think that's good advice. What's the name of the magazine for the Westchester magazine?
So it's going to be Upper Westchester Lifestyle.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm so excited about that. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. It's exciting.
Okay. Very exciting. With the book, what are the plans for the book?
So we're starting to have events throughout March and April.
Yeah.
All throughout Fairfield County. I'm speaking in Tampa at a women's business owner event. I'm speaking in Newport at an event. So just really trying to get it out there. I'm really excited for the Newport event because I'm going to bring my grandma.
Oh,
my plus
right.
One.
She's in Rhode Island.
And she's in Rhode Island and she's she's so proud. She reads the magazines every month and then tells everybody she knows at church and at all her little like friend groups, like this is my granddaughter. And she's always kind of been my biggest fan. Like even as a child, like I was definitely...
Were you her favorite?
I mean, I don't want to say I was the favorite, but I was up there. But she was always just very, like, she just, I don't know, we just enjoy each other. And she's, like, at that age where she's very bored, right? Like, my Pepe died a few years ago. She's lonely. And she's really proud and excited. So I was like, do you want to come to this with me? And she was like, oh my God, I would be honored. And I was like, that's so nice. Like, I'm
right.
So excited.
So she'll get to hear you speak in front of all those women.
Yeah. And I left Rhode Island when I was 18. So she really, aside from when I visit and or we have phone calls, like she doesn't see day to day as much. So it'll be nice to be able to have her kind of see the insides of what that looks like.
Yeah, that's so cool. Do you ever think about doing more public speaking and giving out all your good advice?
It's funny. I, again, like that leader thing we were talking about, I feel like I don't know if I would be good at it. Like, I'm like, does anyone really want to listen to what I have to say? But then people keep asking. So I don't know. We'll kind of see. I've been getting some people cheering for that, but
okay. Well, I love that idea. I personally love that idea for you. I think it would be amazing because I heard you speak a few months back in Greenwich at that conference. We were together and you were so good. Everyone was like cheering for you. So.
That's so funny. Maybe it's because I'm passionate about it. And so I'm just like talking about things that I know, but it's funny. I don't see that as a skill set that I have, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. Okay. Well, where can everyone buy the book? Wherever books are sold.
Yeah. All local bookstores. Barrett Bookstore is going to carry it. Athena Books is going to carry it. All the Barnes and Nobles.
Amazon,
Target. You can go on my website and buy it.
What's your website?
It's embossedlife.co. And then if you do,
I'll put that in the show notes. Because what is that again?
That's the parent company that owns all the companies.
Okay.
And so it's like a kind of like a holding company.
It's like your LLC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then how can we follow along with your entrepreneurial journey? What's the best way to hear all the goodness from Laura Sabia?
Follow me on Instagram. Yeah, we just started posting videos on Instagram.
Okay. And what's your handle?
Laura Labs.
Laura Labs. Okay. Then, we'll put all that in the show notes.
And I just created a TikTok, but I don't know the handle.
Okay. Well, we'll work on that.
We'll get that for you.
Yeah, we'll get that for you. Okay. What are your thoughts on social media these days for business owners?
So personally, I hate social media and I think it's a huge time suck. Every time I go on, I get influenced to buy something. Like my friend Ashley had this green matcha coffee thing and I was like, ooh, what is that? And then in the next post, she posted what it was. So I went to Starbucks and I bought it. I haven't been to Starbucks in years. Then now I'm suddenly addicted to it and I keep buying this $6 drink and I'm like, why do I need this? Like, it's so good. So then I'll text her and I'll be like, haha, influenced, you know, like she encouraged me to buy it. And she's like, well, my order at this place is blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, now I have to try that too. So I feel like I have a love hate, right? I don't want to say I dislike Instagram because it is fun to go on and like see family and friends and like engage. But I get sucked down such a black hole that it's like Amazon haul. And I'm like, oh, that dress is cute. Never going to wear it. Like I'm always in leggings. Why am I clicking on?
Right,
like,
but so, it's only $30.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course you need it.
You convince yourself. Yeah. It's great. So I actually try and remove myself from Instagram. And that's one of the things I delegate out to other people. I try to stay away from it as much as possible.
Right. But as far as like for business, it's super important, but I think
it's really important, but I think it's one of those things that you should be delegating.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely something that you can spend a lot of time on there. And it's not necessarily time that's benefiting the growth, depending on the business.
Yeah.
Right. So with the book, I was very much encouraged by other people on my team to start making videos because they're like, people are going to click it, right?
Yeah.
Like, think about it. Like, I'm like clicking things and it's like, people are going to want the advice and click the book and it makes sense. And so I'm kind of going out of my comfort zone a little bit because I'm very private and I'm very much behind a computer, but I'm like, okay, I guess I'll post this video because it makes sense and it will benefit people and it will help the greater community if I'm sharing this information. But it can be a black hole. So, I mean, you could always time block it. So
yes,
sometimes,
that's
like,
what I do.
You know, you could be like, I have 20 minutes to go on. And then when the timer goes off, you have to stop. Like, that would be a great way to work around that. But I think...
Delegating.
Yeah, delegate.
You love to delegate.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we're all going to follow along. The book tour, all the good things. We're so excited for you. The book is called You Can Thank Me Later. And we're just so proud of you. Everyone loves Laura. So
oh
thank
God,
you for
you
coming
so
on
sweet.
And sharing
thank
all
you
your
for
good
having
news.
Me.
Such good news, Laura. So proud of you.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to my mom's podcast. Remember, you can find Nina's Got Good News on iTunes and Spotify. Also on Google Play, Stitcher, and Outkast. And now we are also on Pandora. Please be sure to subscribe. Also, rate and review all her podcasts too. And be sure to share it with a friend. The mission of this podcast is to get better together as a community in the audio space. Please follow my mom on Instagram. Her handle is Nina B. Clark. Don't forget, Clark has an E at the end of it. For now, I'm Blaine Clark. Thank you again for listening, and let's just keep being awesome. XOXO.